Guys, we are live on Worst First. Well, not live, but we're here.
We're live.
You guys are watching this afterwards. I'm here with Kelsey. Am I going to say your last name wrong?
Daraga?
Darug?
That was beautiful.
Darug?
I wish it was that
Dara.
Exotic. It's Dara, yeah.
Dara.
Like Sarah.
Very. Okay, Kelsey Dara, who I love and I've known for a really long time, and she's super funny. She's like, if you're sure you've seen her on like you did the BuzzFeed stuff for so long, and you did Girl Code too, didn't you?
No,
you didn't do Girl Code?
I got booked for it and then I didn't end up doing it.
Oh, okay.
I think
you were on Girl Code
like
for some reason. You're so funny and I follow you on Twitter and I'm like, I could have sworn you were on that. But we also did Jimmy Tatro sketches together.
That's
dead.
How I
so
know
much
you.
Fun.
Well, I know you from Vine days.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I went to school with Batch, actually.
Oh, my God.
And so I was in a fuck ton of his videos, but I've had jaw surgery since and like a ass load of Botox, so I don't look the same.
Dead. I don't look the same either.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Your jawline.
Oh, thank you. I actually had TMJ surgery as well.
Wait, what?
Yeah. When I was 16, my jaw used to be like very Keira Knightley. Like I had my bottom, when they straightened my bottom teeth, they were in front of my top teeth like a bulldog.
So you had the reduction?
Which is crazy.
They did a really good job.
They broke my jaw on the inside and all my like inside facial bones when I was 16, pulled my jaw back, but I don't think they did enough.
Brittany, I did not know this happened
to
you. I've had three.
You've had it three times?
Because they fucked up once.
Oh,
I've done
no.
some videos about it because I have chronic pain. I don't know if did you walk away having a better life from it?
Yeah, I have no pain. I have nothing. Like, you know, they actually said afterwards, like they were like, we just did it very mild. You know, they didn't go crazy, but I did have my jaw wired shut for a year.
So do you have titanium?
Yeah, in my jaw.
Same,
yeah,
bitch.
Right? Isn't that kind of nuts?
Mind blowing because I never get to meet someone else who's been through that. That's had a positive experience.
Yeah, how long were you swollen? Because I feel like I was swollen for 3 years.
Years. I'm still coming out of it.
Your face looks great.
Well, my last one that I had, the last big one, was in 2015.
Oh wow!
So I had just started at BuzzFeed. So it's kind of funny if you watch my.
Hey guys, I'm live chipmunks now hosting.
I'm like fucking eating like painkillers under the table, having my first like big girl job, and
how
then my
could you
face
talk?
Morphs.
Because your jaw was wired shut too, right?
So I didn't get wired that time.
Okay.
Mine was a break, and then they sawed off like the top up here and like reconnected it up here, and then I have a fossa implant. It's a whole fucking thing.
Are you in pain right now?
All the time. The time. I have chronic pain from it because he fucked up the nerve right here. The trigeminal nerve. I don't know if you like know the anatomy of your insides, but whatever. Who cares? That's not what I'm excited about.
Ouch.
I'm just excited that someone else has had the... Do you want to get down?
He's chilling.
I love him. I just can't believe someone else has had the experience of jaw surgery.
It's traumatizing.
It's fucked. But you look hot.
Like, thanks, girl.
I'm like,
I love you.
If I had to do it again, I'd fucking do it again because I was a little oogly before.
I was oogly. I was very oogly. And, you know, it's crazy because I actually had it and then, like, I had it and came out here and then everyone on, like, I was on Vine and, like, my jaw looked really big because I didn't have, like, any lip injections yet and I didn't have any Botox.
Balance.
I didn't have any filler. So I went and got filler and Botox after, like, I got tons of mean comments on Vine. People being like, you look 40. And I was, like, 27.
Ew.
And then I was like, ew, should I, like, go see someone? And so I went to, like, this lady in Hollywood and she was really good. She did, like, a lot of celebrities and she's very, like, subtle. Mm. And then she just gave my face balance. And then everyone was like, you got plastic surgery. And I'm like, bitch, I have way too much anxiety to get put under.
No.
I would not get surgery. Like,
no.
I literally injected everything, but I didn't get surgery.
I think you look fantastic.
Thanks.
I was literally telling my friend earlier because I love you. I was like, oh, I'm coming here. And this is the chick. And he's like, oh, I know. She's so pretty.
Aww.
Her jawline. Like, you
oh
keep
God,
it high and tight, honey.
I do. I try.
You are proof that money can buy. Good.
Facts.
Good.
You're not ugly. You're just broke.
Good Botox. I mean, it's.
I love you. You look amazing too.
Thanks.
We're going backwards.
Yeah. Listen, and as things age, I don't know if you've heard of, because we both did the Amen Center, which I want to talk about.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yes.
But have you heard of telomere testing?
Actually, yes, because my girlfriend takes like a telomere support. So like telomeres are basically like the genes that like help you live or help you stay young looking, right?
It's like the tail of your chromosome.
Right. And as you get older, it shortens. Mm-hmm. And so my friend takes this medication. It's a medication. I forget what it's called.
It's probably a supplement.
Yeah. And it lengthens your telomeres. So she looks amazing.
Benjamin Buttoning.
Right.
And it's only getting like more research put into it because the person who discovered it won a Nobel Peace Prize and it was supposed to be this big thing. But then the beauty industry got a hold of it. Yeah. Like, oh, we can reverse aging. And now it's become, unfortunately, more like a Botox-y thing.
Do you take it? Anything?
No, I got my telomeres tested. And this is what, this is like kind of why I got sober a year ago is because it tells you how old your body thinks you are based on so many factors.
I'm terrified.
Like partying, diet, genetics, like, it can be a million things. So I was 27 mm-hmm. when I got it done and my body thought I was almost 40. And the doctor like on camera was like, you should really quit drinking. And I was like, nah, okay, taking a shot under the table. And then after the camera was stopped rolling, he was like, I'm serious. Like you should really quit drinking or your body's going to keep
aging really fast.
Yeah. And so, oh, you want mommy?
You want mommy?
Yeah. He's like, this lady doesn't have enough warmth on her pussy. It's cold over here.
You're so skinny. He's like, please. I'm not used to seeing on bones.
Yeah, right. He's like, this fat coochie.
No. So wait, so where do you go to get your telomeres tested?
So that's the thing is I think now you have to really do your research because the Botox people have gotten their hands on it. Mm-hmm. I think you can go to more sciencey places, but everyone promotes it like it's Botox now.
Oh,
like,
weird.
Get your telomeres tested and then we're going to prescribe you a bunch of supplements to help you not age. And I'm into it, but I think you have to be careful. I think you have to be careful.
I'm scared. Obviously, Kelsey and I both connect and we both have really bad anxiety. That's like kind of like why she ended up coming here.
Yay.
Because she has horrible. I saw you wrote a book. We're going to talk about everything. You wrote a workbook on panic attacks, which I love.
I'm so excited you're talking about it.
Yeah, of course. Always. Like, it's like my life. My husband's like, Can you shut the fuck up? Like, I'm constantly panicking.
It's your personality now. It's yeah.
No, but it is because I like it's what I live. And then some people were like, you give it too much attention. I'm like, well, it's there all the time and it makes me feel better to talk about it. So whatever.
Yeah.
But Amen. Yeah, so the thing is I get nervous with taking supplements. Do you? I get nervous with taking new medications. Mm-hmm. I get nervous with trying things because of the anxiety.
Yeah. There was a period where I was switching medications every like 4 weeks.
Oh my God. That makes you feel fucked up, right?
Fucking crazy.
Like crazy.
And they throw the medication at you without adding like the supplemental emotional support.
I hate that.
Yeah.
They're like, here, try this. Talk to you in 4 weeks. You're like, what about everything I'm going to be feeling?
Yeah. And I'm like, by the way, do you remember my name?
Yeah.
Like, am I just a fucking client to you at this point? And so it really took a long time for me to find people that I connected with on a level where I really believed they gave a fuck.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about the Amen Center was a place that was recommended to me by a friend whose sister had had a lot of success with it. It's known in the industry as sort of like the new wave of brain testing.
Yeah.
Where this guy,
Dr. Amen,
scans your brain and based on like the shapes and colors and synapses of your brain, they can tell a lot about you. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily that they can say like you've experienced this, but compared to all the brains we've studied, we find that if you have this little dimple in your head, you will experience this.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily diagnosing you so much as it's like holding a mirror up to you and being like, here's what your brain looks like. Here's what we think. Take your supplements.
Right.
This will help. So with the Amen Center, I did find more trust in taking supplements.
Okay.
Because like we were joking earlier that like I think Asian people can outlive us all just based on like their Eastern and Ayurvedic techniques and like the history of time. They've really looked at more like naturopathic shit. And I fuck with that hard because I've tried all the Western shit and it made me fucking suicidal and not okay. Not that I'm anti-medication, do what works for you, boo.
Yeah.
But I'm curious how your experience was with the Amen Center.
Well, I'm going through it right now. Like, I just had my brain scanned. Mm. I went and talked to Dr. Amen. We're going to, he hasn't shared, like, I went and talked to him and I'm going to post a video on it. But like, basically, like, you know, I had the trauma diamond that they say people that have PTSD have that have been through stressful situations. I had the ADHD hole in the front, you know, like I had a lot of, and then like apparently like where my vagus nerve is was like very concave, which means like it's like not really functioning well. Yeah. So
do they think supplements can bring that back?
I mean, he was like, you know, he gave me some supplements, but he didn't really like push a lot of supplements. He thinks the most beneficial thing for me is going to be EMDR therapy, which is, I heard, amazing. So he actually set me up with an EMDR therapist and then also to try to fix the like concave part of my brain, I have to do like hyperbaric oxygen treatment to help heal the brain.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. So he wasn't like pushing like anything on me and like very like, you know, obviously told me, you know, that, you know, trauma obviously manifests in so many different ways and like physically, and you can go through something as a child or have a lot of trauma when you're younger, and then it just kind of programs you for that as you get older. And you know, so I told him like for years I was doing fine, and then all of a sudden like I get married and like I all of a sudden I'm having trauma, and I'm like, why am I having trauma? Like, what's reminding me of my childhood here, right? You know, or what's not, or what's just happening, right? That.
And you're like, what the fuck? Because I'm happy and I love this and I love this person.
I do. I think the heart. My body just freaks out. I think the hard thing is like when you're married, when your partner doesn't really understand what you're going through, and like
big time,
they're kind of just like, well, just chill out. And you're like, well, like I'd love that for me.
If it was that easy, don't you think I would have bought the thing that does that, or develop like an unhealthy addiction to my Ativan, which I did do. I went through a relationship where the guy didn't get it and like didn't want to get it.
Yeah, I'm kind of.
And I like the partner I'm with now doesn't get it, but wants to get it, which
is helpful and loving.
Is the biggest difference in the fucking world. And when I was in that relationship where he didn't want to do it and didn't fucking get it, I would turn to my Ativan, which is a benzodiazepine, which is like the
knocks you out. And they're addictive.
Yeah, and they're really small. And the type that I was taking was like a quick half-life. So it went in my body, went out. And there was a point when our relationship was falling apart that in the morning I would just kind of like reach in. And
even
like,
if you didn't need it.
Didn't know how many it was and was just kind of like, and would chew them like sweet tarts. And I was like, when did this happen?
How did you stay awake during the day?
That's how high my panic was. Was like, oh,
it
I
actually
was
just made you regular
in a state of just like shaking and like fucked up all day.
Heart rate so high. Yeah. Blood pressure.
I went to I went to an outpatient program where like I would go during the day and I would stay there all day, and then I'd get to sleep at my house, which feels like some weird fucked up mental health college. Mm-hmm. And there was times where I was like sneaking coke and Ativan into the outpatient center.
You would do like, coke?
Yeah, because I would need to stay awake. And then I would.
So you were taking up or downers, all arounders.
All arounders. Yeah, I was having like the time of my life, not.
Right.
And so I was like telling my therapist this, and he was like, all right, let's go outside. So I was like, okay. So we went outside. We're like on Wilshire Boulevard, and we go across the street to the gas station, and we buy a carton of cigarettes, and we just kind of like sit on the curb, like chain smoking cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you're going to kill yourself accidentally. Like if you don't go check yourself into rehab like today. And I was like, I don't have a pill problem. He's like, I know you have like a very bad like mental health problem and you need to go detox. And I was like, all right. And he's like, this carton of cigarettes is for you. Like, this is going to be gold when you go to rehab. Like, people will trade this for anything. And I was like, oh, thanks, man. And so that night, like, literally a black SUV came and picked me up and, like, took me to some ritzy fucking cliffside mental health center.
There is a mental health center out here?
It's a dual diagnosis center.
Is it good?
I would not go back.
I was hospitalized when I was 16. It was the worst experience of my life. So I was just wondering. Yeah. Oh,
were you
God.
In a state hospital? Like a people throwing their shit against the wall? That's gnarly. That's not helpful either.
It made me worse. It actually made me so much worse. But so that's what I was wondering. Like, I feel like the sad thing is there's not like a place for mental health help. Mm-mm. Like to stay where people need to stay and actually like try different medications and be cared for every monitored day and talk about their symptoms and how they're feeling and someone to guide them through and say, like, is this normal? Yep. Yes, that's normal. Like, that'll go through. And like, how are you feeling today? Oh, I'm not feeling good. And, like, stay there until you find what works. Like, there really needs to be something like that.
They group it so heavily with drug and alcohol. Yeah, and
that overshadows it.
Yeah, and you're like, what is... Sure, addiction is a disease and, like, yeah, people need to figure that out, but the people who are just dealing with their brain
need a place.
Fighting themselves. Yeah. And, like, that's kind of what we're dealing with in the world right now that we see with all, like, the racial injustice where we're sending cops to mental health crisis situations. And, like, you and I are lucky. We live in nice areas. We are white, very white presenting and looking where someone would go, like, oh, they're having a mental health crisis. Other people don't get that treatment and they don't get the education to even know what's happening to them.
Yeah.
And I feel like there is this huge fucking gap of, like, mental health privilege that, you know, I feel like I found a purpose in my life in closing that and figuring out a way to say, like, we all should be taught somewhere along our life's journey, whether it be in your fucking public school or on, like, Sesame Street, I don't give a fuck, that we learn how to identify and recognize and not fucking over-medicate everything. It's like, what is at the core
of what's going on?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, there's a chemical imbalance. Yeah, there's this, but you talk about, like, your trauma. It's like, how do we get to the root of that trauma without creating a fucking bomb, right?
And what, like, is your trigger? Like, what do you find to be most triggering?
Isn't, well, travel. We talked about travel. I have a whole section in my book about airplanes, like claustrophobia, agoraphobia, fucking
hate leaving my house, period.
Hate it.
Hate it. And I try to put on, like, a strong face for my husband because he's, like, Mr. Tour of the World. And, like, he's like, we get back from a vacation and he's like, let's plan another trip. And I'm like, I hate this. Like,
do you hate the act of travel or you actually hate just being away from home?
I hate the act of travel. I hate getting on a plane because I'm like, in my head, my brain goes, I'm very scared of death. So everything's revolved around death.
What are you afraid of death?
I don't want to die.
What?
Because I don't want my brain to stop. Like, I'm scared of it, even though my brain sucks.
Can,
like,
I tell you something that cured my fear of death?
What?
I used to be the exact same way. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even talk about it without having a panic attack.
Yeah.
It was someone who I'm not going to say who because he got, like, me too, so I'm not going to say it. But it was someone, it was Chris Hardwick, whatever. He said, death, you have to think about it as the same way of before you were born.
Oh, I've heard that,
like,
before.
Like, you don't have any consciousness. Yeah. You don't know.
But I don't want to not have a consciousness.
But
so
doesn't,
just,
that make, like, now more precious?
It makes it so precious. So that's what makes me even more upset.
Because you're like,
I don't
want
to lose it. Like, I don't want to lose it. Like, I'm touching my babies and eating and living. And, like, like, I love life so much. Yeah. Like, I'm totally opposite of someone who, like, is suicidal. You
right.
Know?
You're like, I want to be here not forever. Suicidal.
Exactly. Never want it to end. I think it's the greatest thing.
Yeah. Do you not think there's anything else outside of death?
I worry. I think there is stuff, but I don't know because I don't know for sure.
And lack of control.
And lack of control spirals. And lack of knowing for sure. Like, you know, my brain's like, you don't know. Could be blackness. Could be darkness forever.
It could just be you staring into black.
Yeah, could be you
screen.
Trapped in your coffin awake for the rest of
oh,
your life.
Hell no, bitch. You are putting me to ashes the moment my heart stops. Ashes. Burn me.
What if
you
you're conscious?
Be a body?
But what if you find, what if we figure out, like, in 100,000 years or so that our brain, our soul is actually still very present, but we're unable to move our physical body. And so your soul goes through all that.
I would like to be burned, spread my soul into 1,000 little pieces of seeds and grow me into a fucking tree. I'll give a
fuck. That's good.
We are, the thing that freaks me out is when people talk about, like, metaphysical shit, like, we are all one. Like, I am you. I am this table. Like, we are everything. We all are stardust. And I'm like, I feel claustrophobic.
Yeah,
I feel, out of control. I feel too
existential. I mean, like, I don't know. I have so many ideas and I just don't know. I mean, no one knows. I have so many thoughts and they change all the time. Sometimes I feel like, I do feel sometimes like, oh, well, we're all energy and you can't really kill energy. You can't destroy it. Right. It just changes form. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, well, maybe, like, we all just turn into, like, a ball of fucking energy.
Like,
who knows?
Orgy,
or we just go back into, like, the stars or who fucking knows wherever we came from.
But you're afraid of...
I'm afraid of not existing.
Exactly.
That's what it is. And so I get really scared. And then, like, the process of dying, like, I get scared. Like, what's that going to be like? And so all these thoughts are ramming through my head when I'm getting on a plane or when I'm getting on anywhere where there's a potential idea that you could die, a painful death.
Right.
And my husband's just like, oh, they want some cheese? Like, he's, like, very, like, unaffected and unscared.
Does he not want to, like, read shit or listen to podcasts or, like, there's no resources for him?
No, I send him stuff all the time, and he kind of just is like, I mean, he just doesn't get it. Like, he's
comes from a place of fear, I think.
It's total fear. I'm afraid. Yeah. I'm like, and then so that makes me
I think he's afraid.
Oh, he's afraid?
I think he doesn't like that you're hurting. And if he can't fix it with like money or appointments or something, like that makes him probably feel hella inadequate.
Yeah, he feels very like powerless. He has said that. And so he kind of just gives up. He's like, okay. I'm like, I'm having a panic attack. Like, yeah. I need a hug or love. And he's like, I'm going to go to bed. And I'm like, oh, but I need a hug. Like, please
help
me.
Do you guys do like your love language?
Yeah, we're very different. That's another thing. Like, he's acts of service and I'm like physical touch. So that's like a big difference. Dang. Like, I need a hug. Like, I need support and love. And then like,
y'all do like, couples therapy.
He's like, good job. We do. Yeah, yeah. And it's important. And it really, you know, it's really helpful. But you know, when you are two very different people, like I'm a worry about everything and he worries about nothing. So it's like just two very different.
You know what it is too? Like I write a little bit about, I don't keep meaning to be like in my book, but like.
No, I would love to talk about
it. It was like traumatic to write because I had to go through every like worst first.
Yeah. we're going to get to that guys. Yeah.
But like the idea of support is crucial.
It's crucial.
And vital.
And makes you, and that makes me feel safe when I know I'm genuinely cared about. Mm-hmm. That would make me feel safe.
But no person can make you feel.
I know, you sound like my therapist. Any fucking thing. You're supposed to feel safe in your own.
But like, yeah, but I'm like, what the fuck? My body's against me every day. Like, I don't feel safe in my body, but it's like a daily fucking scheduled in my calendar practice to go into those feelings that I fear the most inside of my body. Like, I'm agoraphobic. Okay, you know what? I'm so fucking sick of being agoraphobic. Yeah. I get mad and that's not helpful. Mm-hmm. Okay, I get sad. That's not helpful. I get fearful. Okay, that's not helpful. Let me try some motherfucking self-compassion and go like, oh, you're really scared. Mm-hmm. That must be fucking bad for you. Like, I have to become my own support and say like, little Kelsey would want her fucking hand to be held.
Yeah.
And like, if your husband can't give you that, if my partner can't give me that, like my purpose on this earth is always going to be fearful if I cannot hold my own hand.
I know. I'm really like, I'm trying to learn how to do that. Yeah. I'm trying to learn how to hold my own dead. I'm trying to learn to hold my own hand. I really am. Like, you know, like I said, we just got back from Mexico and the last night I had a horrible panic attack. In the middle of the night. Yeah, it was.
And you're
the
today
before.
Like this?
Well, I'm like barely.
Bitch,
alive.
You got a fake nipple piercing shirt.
I know,
on.
Dead. I slept till 12 p.m. Okay. So I got the rest. But
you're crushing it.
And I love you.
No, like dead at, like, well, you should really recognize. House, no, but like don't deflect the like holy shit.
I know
shitness,
it's so exhausting. It really does.
That
take it
you
out,
are though. Able to be here right now after experiencing. I didn't realize it was last night, bitch.
Don't you get to the point though when you've had so many that you're just
over it.
So
you're mad about
used
it.
To it.
You're
like
so mad about
living
it.
In a constant state of exhaustion or hyper panic.
And I mean, you just know, you're like, okay, I've got to sleep in till 12 tomorrow.
Exactly.
And then like, I'll be okay. And I'll take this Xanax. It's like, you're over it. You're fucking over the method you have.
It sucks. And like, I have CBD, which really helps me during the day. So I don't have to like take, you know, benzos. And then like, if it's really bad, like it was, I take a Klonopin and that helps. But fuck, it's just like, learning to hold your own hand. Like the hardest thing ever.
And being kind to being over it. Like, it must be so frustrating.
Yeah, it's so frustrating.
And like saying that to yourself, right? Because like if you saw your husband in pain in a way, like I know, what's your sign?
Virgo. Oh, so compassionate.
So much.
So like loving.
But it's impossible to like inward that energy and say like.
It's like you don't deserve it.
Yeah, for like a million reasons. But that's the what I joke like saying like you're a boss bitch, but it's because like the reason why we're successful and here and funny and like functioning is because we're like kind of a cunt to ourselves.
Yeah.
And it gets us here.
Yeah.
And so when we falter, I'm making air quotes, have a panic attack, we're like, you dumb bitch, just be fucking normal. Why can't you just be on a fucking plane like a normal, you're in Mexico. Be grateful, you cunt. Like,
this is my self-talk.
Yeah.
You just were my self-talk right now. That's hilarious.
It's every day that I have to actively go, thank you, brain, for that. That was, exhausting. That was a lot.
The truth.
But like, here is fact. Like, yeah. I am struggling and it's annoying and I'm frustrated and I fucking hate it.
Uh-huh.
And here's how I'm going to be kind to myself today.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be like big dramatic swings like crystals and oming your fucking titties off, but something to just shut that voice up a little bit.
Yeah. The writing helps, right? Like writing it down, getting it on paper.
Hell yeah.
I do that. And then what's the name of your book?
Oh my God. It's called Don't Fucking Panic.
Perfect.
The shit they don't tell you in therapy about anxiety disorder, panic attacks, and depression.
And where can we get it?
Anywhere? When does this come out?
This is next week.
Oh shit. So I think the actual release date of it is in 28 days or something.
Oh my God.
But it's for pre-order on Thought Catalog because they make you do a bunch of pre-orders.
Go to Thought Catalog, guys, and pre-order. Yeah. Don't fucking panic if you
but
struggle
it'll be
with
out
this.
For the holidays.
Yay, and it's a great gift. Give someone the fucking gift of relatability,
I'm
right?
I'm telling you. Like, the point was, is like, it's not written by a doctor.
Yeah, it's written by someone that actually experiences it.
So it's like, sure, here's like your parasympathetic nervous system and your fucking vagus nerve. Also, how do I deal with my anxiety shits?
Mm-hmm.
Like, my body liquefies after I have a panic attack.
Absolutely.
What am I supposed to do if I don't have a bathroom? Like, there were so many experiences where I'm just like, nobody told me this about the panic part.
Those are so real. You know, everyone always asks me, they're like, what's your workout routine? How do you stay in good shape? And I'm like,
I fucking literally,
it's called, have you heard the term scared shitless? Well, that's what happens when you have a panic attack.
Brittany, I feel you so
hard. Doesn't that suck?
Dude.
You literally become scared shitless. You're like, and it's just everything you just ate. Just
your body betrays you.
It's horrible.
I feel you so hard.
I just don't
want
to be scared anymore. It sucks. I just want to, it's annoying. So I'm at the point where I'm over it, but.
Yeah, man. But you're also doing it. Like, you're doing it. You're literally doing a podcast. You're a dog mom. You're a wife. Like, you have makeup on. Like, you're doing it.
I push
still.
Myself so hard every day. And, like, I am doing the work. I'm doing therapy. I'm, like, very active with, like, you know, trying my medication, doing my medication and everything. Meditate, you know, praying every night, doing writing, writing it down. Like, I am very proactive with it. But it's, like, you know, we are who we are. And
I feel like you're trying everything. Yeah. And nothing is fucking working.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just always a simmering. It's like you're simmering in constant, like, you know, I'm just about to boil over. When's it going to happen?
I write about that. Like, my alter ego is Riley. She's like a name my friends gave me when I was like a raging alcoholic. But like, it feels like Riley is right under the surface all the time. And Riley is going to jump out and fucking take all our clothes off, run in the middle of the street, start yelling fucking crazy,
I know,
racist conspiracy theories. Oh, someone's going to like post it on social media and I'm going to end up in a mental hospital on drugs and like brain goop forever. And that is like an intrusive thought that I have every single day.
Horrible. I have intrusive thoughts like that too. I have intrusive thoughts that like sometimes because my brain is so overactive. And that's what they even showed me in the Amen Clinic. They're like, your brain is lit up like a Christmas tree. Like, it's, like, functioning in parts it shouldn't be functioning.
Like, this part's supposed to be black?
Yeah, you're thinking way too much.
Highlighting. It's
people a concert. People are supposed to use, like, 3% of their brain. I use, like, 300%.
Oh,
no. But, like, you know, I have that fear. And I think a lot of people with anxiety have that fear of going crazy.
Yeah.
That's constant. I think that that's, like, the constant fear. But I think because we're so aware of it, we won't ever get there.
That's exactly what it means. It's, like, you have the thought, you are not the thought.
Exactly.
Your first thought is your worst thought. The thing that matters is your second thought.
Oh God, I like that.
I'm telling you, dog. You start to separate your thoughts into like, oh, that was just my monkey brain. Like my inherited brain is doing that. But what am I actually gonna do?
Right.
And like, what is actually true? And it really is about like kind of in that moment, writing out fact from feeling.
And that's so true. Dr. Amen actually did say that to me. He was like, because a lot of everything is fear-based for me. So he was when you are afraid, you know, and this goes for anyone, when you're afraid, pull out a journal. I mean, if you're not in the middle of a panic attack, because you obviously know that that's impossible. Yeah. But if you're not at the full panic point, pull out a journal, write down what you're afraid of, and then ask yourself, is it true?
And
like, is it for sure true?
This is another like revolution I had about writing is like, if it is true, I call it the if thens, the then whats.
Yeah, then
it's
what?
It's like, if this happens, then what? Like, if you do take all your clothes off and run out onto the beach in Mexico and start like drooling. Then what? Like, yeah. Then your husband will get you and like set you down, call a doctor, you will take a medication and you will figure it out. Yeah. Like,
or my husband will just film it and put it on YouTube and be like, wow, this bitch is crazy. Like,
I knew this was coming. Yeah, yeah. But it's like us as anxious and like panicky thinkers,
yeah,
always go to like, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? Mm, and we never talk about like, if. We never talk about the then what. It's like, yeah. Then what? Okay, then I fly home.
Yeah.
Like if my vacation goes so horribly, like then I fucking fly home early.
Yeah.
Then what? Then I come home and I take my Xanax and I start over, yeah, and I try next time. It's like everything is so high stakes.
Everything.
Everything.
My husband calls me WCS, worst case scenario, because I think about the worst thing that could
ever. And you know what, bitch? That got you here.
Yeah.
That got you to survive.
And then I read something about people with anxiety. They're like, they're less likely to die early. They're less likely to be in car crashes or plane crashes or whatever because we're so.
Doomsday prepper.
We think everything through. Mm-hmm.
Plan A, plan B, plan
like,
C.
Like, fuck, I think everything through before it even happens. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, oh, I already know what's going to happen. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Lists, Google, Excel spreadsheets. Like, I've got my day is planned to a T. We talked about this yeah. before we started. It's like, free time gives me anxiety. High anxiety to the point where I'm yeah. like, I'm not living up to my fullest potential. Other yeah. people are getting ahead of me. And I have to be like, oh, yeah, I am me.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like, exactly. Just that's it. All you can do.
And I hate that it's so woo-woo. Like, the answer is always so fucking woo-woo.
Yeah, it's so woo-woo. But it's true. And like, the other thing is like, no one, this is what I love too. No one can ever do what you do as you do.
Motherfucking pre.
They can't. As much as people can, like, imitate you or try to be you, they won't ever be able to be Kelsey.
Or Brittany.
Or
Brittany.
Like they're, or you, Tiffany, or whoever's watching.
John.
You all, John. You'll be able to, no one can do you yep. the way you do you, mm-hmm. okay?
Like you are, I hate it. It's like you are here for a motherfucking reason.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, what you mean to people, like your existence is a miracle and it's so stupid.
Yeah,
it's so stupid to be like,
but we're part of a bigger puzzle and we don't know what that is until we get or not here anymore.
And then we panic and spiral yeah. into what the fuck happens when we die. What is our
what
purpose?
What part of the puzzle am I? Fucking tell me now.
Wiki, you're going to scare this boy. Fuck. Wiki looks like he just did a line like, all the time.
Poor Wiki. Actually, it's so poor funny. Hero. I had a pet psychic on last week and they were like, Wiki is like so connected to me. Like he's so, and they
told,
and the dogs told the pet psychic that I think too much and it's stresses them out.
My pet psychic told me that my cat doesn't like it when I call him a big fat cat. I was like, this is my like big fat cat Leo. And she was like, oh, no, he said you say that all the time. I'm like, yeah, I say it every day. And she's like, he doesn't like that. So I had to like stop fat shaming my he's like, fat cat.
He's like, it's 2020. Can we do body positivity here? Like, hello.
And you know what? He's a big bitch and I love it.
He's a big bad bitch. I love it. Okay, guys, we're gonna take a quick break and then we'll be back with Kelsey Dara.
Yeah, you added a little accent to it
first.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Okay, guys, we are back. I hope you're enjoying this episode, relating, feeling more comforted that you're not the only one who's a fucking psychopath.
Mm-hmm. Or you've taken like a Xanax and you're like chilling on this journey with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, exactly, on this journey. So Kelsey's going to tell me a worst, and she's going to tell me her worst panic attack that you can remember.
Got.
Because we've had, I'm sure you've had so many.
That's what I'm saying is like there's so
They're
many.
All the worst.
They're all the worst, mm-hmm. and I would never wish it upon like
anyone. Your worst enemy,
Osama bin Laden.
Although I do kind of wish my husband would have one, just so he knows what I go through, because he's so like dismissive.
But then you're also like, I would never want someone to know what that feels like, because once you know, you can't unknow.
No, then you're scared forever of having one again. Yeah, it sucks.
There's been so many, like, there's been times where I've almost landed in an airplane. So I'll talk about the one that I mentioned in my book. What I realized was I had a very clear image of what I thought my first panic attack was. Like, it was 17. I was on an airplane. I was with my family coming back from a vacation, and it like came out of nowhere, which they always tend to do. And then when I was writing and I had to go through, like how it started, I recognized that I was having panic attacks when I was like a child.
Yeah.
And I called my parents. I was like, you guys, what the fuck? Remember that time you took me to a hospital because I thought I couldn't swallow?
Yeah.
And no one said anything. Mm-hmm. And after they gave me Valium, I was perfectly fine and couldn't find anything wrong with me. And they said I was just being dramatic and attention seeking. What the fuck, you guys? And
my parents were like, dad take me to the emergency room.
How many, like,
at like eight.
The amount of times yeah. I have been to the emergency room. And I'm lucky that my parents were like, you know what? I'd rather be safe than sorry. Let's go. Mm-hmm. They didn't never diminished me. But there were times, like the very first time I got high when I was a teenager. Bitch.
The worst. Because you already, it's like you already disassociate having anxiety and then being high is like disassociating on a whole nother
level.
And
I had no idea that like you could transform your body and soul into a feeling. And so I was with my girlfriends. We were outside at my friend's house who lived with her aunt, and her aunt was really cool, so we could like do bad things. And so we're like outside on the patio and we're like, we should practice smoking so that when we're with like the football players that we don't like spit too much on the blunt, or like we can practice rolling. Like, I was a drug dealer in high school, so I was like very good at weed things. But before, like the very first time I tried, I remember like hitting it, and then like someone asked me what time it was, and I looked down and it had been 3 minutes that had gone by, and time
was so slow.
It was the first time I recognized time.
It's like so scary.
A pillar, and that freaked me out so bad. I like stood up, and we talk about fight or flight, and there's like other ones like fawn or freeze. Mm-hmm. I flighted. Mm-hmm. Like, I stood up and I ran, and I was trying to get back in the house, and all the doors were locked, and my friends were laughing so hard because they were high that one of them peed their pants. And I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck is happening? Finally get inside. I run into her aunt's bedroom. I tell her what's going on. I can't explain what I'm thinking or feeling. She makes me a California Pizza Kitchen pizza, sits in the kitchen with me until like 5 a.m. and this is like a school night, and I like don't sleep until I basically come out of the high.
Yeah.
And I'm high, or what I think is high, but I think it really was a state of disassociation for 3 motherfucking days.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that was a panic attack.
Yeah.
It was not the time I was on a plane and panicked and stood up, and the flight attendant was like, you need to sit down. And I was like, I'm not sitting down. She was like, you need to sit the fuck down. And I ran to the back of the plane. My mom meets me in the back of the plane. I'm screaming that I feel stuck. I need to breathe. I can't breathe.
Yeah.
They're like, do you need a doctor? We're going to land the plane. And my mom was like, do not land the plane. Give me 3 bottles of vodka. And they were like, how old is she? And she was like, give me 3 bottles of vodka. And so they gave my mom 3 bottles of vodka. And I shoot 3 bottles of vodka in the back of a plane when I was 17 years old. And they didn't land the plane. And I was drunk. And
you were fine.
I was okay.
Did you not have Valium or anything then?
Not then.
Nothing.
My mom had it because she's a white lady in a suburban neighborhood.
She wouldn't give it to you?
She didn't have it on her on an airplane.
Oh.
So she was like, drink this vodka. And I think that was the first time that I was like, oh, I can drink to calm this feeling. And it's a Band-Aid over a bullet hole.
Oh, my fucking friend. Band-Aid on a bullet wound. And then and then it makes you worse over time. And then, you know, I hate alcohol. Ugh, anything. Any
I didn't
drugs
know you
anymore.
Didn't drink.
No,
or,
I can't.
Or drugs?
No, I not like back when I was younger, yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, man, I was on the up or downer train like you. I was prescribed Adderall during the day. Mm-hmm. And then a high dose of Effexor at night. And I was on the all day, you know, and I did that for years.
Your personality is already like that. Yeah. You don't need to amplify and decrease.
I was a psycho on Adderall. People were like, oh my God. Like I was like, I was the fucking Tasmanian devil.
Was this the Vine
devil.
Days?
No, this was before Vine. Actually, Vine, it's crazy. Like I had gotten off of all my antidepressants and it was completely nothing. And no medication for an entire year, and I was I couldn't leave my house. And so like my boyfriend at the time had gotten me an iPhone, so I started making the videos in my house, and people were like, these are so funny. And then like agents were like, we want to meet you, and I was like, I can't do that. And then my manager was like, you have to go. It's like all these big agencies want to meet you. And so then I got back on my Effexor, and I remember it just took a while for it to like kick back in, but then I was able to like go meet them, but still obviously have like anxiety, right. You know, but it's enough to get me to out of the house. So I'm just like, okay, at least there's that, you know?
And it's like, we think of our lives in periods of medications we were on.
Yeah.
It was like, oh yeah, that was Effexor or like Valium
Adderall or whatever. Yeah. It's so weird. And like, I mean, I just don't like, you know, I'm like, I'm only taking 37.5 milligrams of Effexor, which is like the starting dose.
Very specific.
It's so small. It's literally the smallest. It's the starting dose, 37.5. And that's it. And then I take my CBD during the day and then like Klonopin as needed, which is like maybe once a week if I have to.
And is your goal to get off of medication?
I can't. Like I've already tried. So I'm on the lowest dose and I've already told myself, listen, like
chemicals
you're living your life, you're functioning, you're able to go out and do things, even though it's still really hard sometimes, like don't try to push it.
Dog.
Yeah. So I'm just like, dude, just be happy that you're on 37.5 and not try to.
It's like crazy how similar our experiences are with it.
Yeah.
And like how upsetting it is to know that there is not something that someone is just like, oh, bippity boppity boop.
I don't get it. And I'm like, how can they not just go in my brain? Like I literally looked into, I talked to a brain guy who like does surgery for people that have depression. Oh, like they actually do that. Yeah. Mental health, like people that are
they
really
lobotomize
depressed.
You.
I don't know if it's lobotomized, but they go in there and they like actually like electrify certain parts of your brain that aren't functioning. Anyway, I talked to him and I was like, is there any way you can like make my amygdala calm down? Like my fear,
fear
guy. And they're like, well, we can't do that because like it could fuck, it runs many things in your body and it'll fuck other
you're
things
you're not
up,
there.
You know?
Like it's bad, but I hate just to be like, it can always be worse because that sounds like it's minimizing you.
Yeah.
But like it is, you're not a lost cause.
No, I don't feel a lost cause. And I just feel bad for like, and I shouldn't, but I feel bad for my husband because I'm just
You should feel bad for yourself.
I do. But I also just, I'm like, God, like I feel like such a burden sometimes.
Of course.
I'm like.
But that person doesn't feel that way. And even if they do, right? Because
he dumps me.
I say that to my partners too.
Yeah.
Bitch, I know you're not thrilled that we had to leave our European vacation 8 days early because I'm scared. What are you scared of? I don't know.
I'm just fucking scared.
I can't explain it. I just don't feel right.
Yeah.
What? Bitch's trip was X amount of dollars. Like, even if they do feel like you are a burden, there is so much more about you. This is so funny. What is he doing?
He just doesn't know. He has dementia, so he's like confused. He's like, where am I? Oh yeah, my mom's lap. Wait, where am I? Dead. I know. I like to think that because I'm like, I have a great personality, but I'm also really scared. You know, like I'm really fun.
I have a great personality,
but I'm also really scared.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm really fun to hang out with in certain places.
I really don't think you're gonna get better until you forgive yourself for what is happening.
Yeah, I do need to be, I definitely need to forgive myself, and I do need to learn to hold my own hand instead of like relying on other people.
Because it's only going to get worse the more you feel like someone else doesn't understand and is your
answer.
Safety net.
Yeah.
Because that's my boyfriend. My boyfriend's my grotto.
He's your grotto, yeah.
And like the first time I had to take a trip without him, it was an international flight on a month-long European vacation.
Were you by yourself?
By my motherfucking self.
With who were you going?
I was going to do a brand deal, but then it was my birthday. So I was like, I'm going to stay and like do a solo. Like I have to do this for myself. And I had been less than a month sober. And when the plane took off, I stood up and I went to the
Everyone's There's like, is she going to sing?
There's something about me on planes and like getting up and the fucking flight attendants being like, sit the fuck down or we will land this plane. And I'm like, do you promise? Please. And I like went up to the front and the flight attendant was like, you absolutely cannot be here as a gay guy. And he was like, you fucking have to sit down. And I like leaned up against the wall doing like a sitting squat and was like, is this okay? And he's like, no.
And you're like, bitch, I have all the gossip. Just let me stand here for 2 seconds, please.
And he let me sit there because at that point it was like, if I went to go, I'd fall over.
Yeah.
But I almost broke my sobriety. I decided that I was going to get sober and I'd been sober for less than a month. And I was this close to being like,
I need a vodka.
Give me
3 vodkas.
Give it to me. And like, I didn't do that. I like sat with the uncomfortability and the panic and it sucked dick hole.
You couldn't take anything? Not even a Klonopin or a Valium? Nothing?
No.
Because when you get sober, you can't be on anything like that.
I still don't think ever my problem was pills.
Yeah, it's more just
that
like...
I'm sure people who are sober are like, she's an addict. People say that all the time.
I was like 45 Xanax yeah. fall out of your pocket. I'm like...
I actually... That happens all the time whenever I use purses. And I find them in the pocket.
All in the bottom. Because like, you always bring one just in case. And then you forgot you brought one just in case. And then there's
coat pockets. Like winter jackets I'm pulling out now. I'm like, there is so many drugs in here. But like making that decision to not was so empowering. Because you realize that like carrying the Klonopin, carrying the Xanax with you.
It's
just
a safety
like,
blanket.
Yeah, dude. And it's like, I'm going to have to deal with this in another way again. Whether it be today, tomorrow, next vacation. And like... That trip, I almost came home like 6 times. I almost broke my sobriety.
You were by yourself?
For a month.
I'm so proud of you. I could never.
It changed my mind.
What place?
Well, I hopped around Europe. So I went to like Portugal.
By yourself?
Yes, dude.
What brand deal was this fucking? Was this like a rich guy who was sponsoring you?
So the brand deal was literally like 2 days in south of France. And they were like, we're going to fly you there. You're going to do the brand deal. And then you're going to fly back. And I was like, no way, bitch. That's more time on a plane than at the place.
Okay.
I'm going to stay. And then my birthday was like a week later. So I was like, I'm going to stay and do my birthday by myself. And then I ended up just staying another week because I was having like the time of my goddamn life.
By yourself?
By my fucking self.
The time of your life?
The time of my life.
Alone?
Alone. Like,
I'm scared of getting abducted or dying.
Of course I am. Bitch, of course I am. I'm in like a heightened state of fear the entire time. But I was like, you know what? It's either being in a heightened state of fear on like the beach of Monaco or I'm depressed in my apartment wanting to
live. Why didn't you have the
life.
Boyfriend come? Because you wanted to do it without a security blanket?
Yes. And he went to go do, have you ever heard of Vipassana? It's a 10-day silent meditation retreat.
Oh, is that one where you can't go with a couple? You have to go by yourself?
Well, I don't know if it's like nowhere? A rule, but yeah, you go alone. It's very much like a monk's journey. Mm-hmm. And I didn't mean to appropriate like the peace sign with my fingers just now. But like he doesn't have anything that I have, but he definitely wants to know more. Uh-huh. And so he kind of got into his own thing. Like, I don't know if your husband has any of his own like spiritual practice, like meditation or like crystals or fucking, I don't care what it is. Jerking off to action figures. I don't know. But like him having his thing and me having my thing was really helpful. Cause again, like the more I cohabitated with this person, like the more I feared ever losing them. Aww. And I was like, I got to figure this shit out. I got to be okay on my own.
That's so big of you.
It was.
That's big girl
dude,
stuff.
But like you say
that's
that.
That's big girl stuff.
Yeah, I put my big girl panties on.
You got your big girl
I
panties
on. I
don't
wear panties. But like you say
but
that.
But I put big girl panties on.
But like
that's
it was
real
something
big girl
I
stuff.
Never. Dude, exactly how you feel now. It was something I never thought I could do. Ever, ever. And then I fucking did it. And I was like, what else am I not doing because I think I can't do it? You know?
I was just thinking like today, like, I miss my parents so much. I was like, maybe I'll take like a 6-hour flight to Philly. And then I was like, by myself? No, like abso-fucking-lutely not, you know? Yeah. Like I can't do it anymore.
But it's also like you have COVID. You have like your parents themselves.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
6 hours of flying.
6 hours. You went to fucking Europe, dude. Dog. Fucking all those hours.
Dog.
Fuck that.
I know.
Our trip to Mexico was 3 hours and I felt like it was the longest airplane ride of my life. Like I was like, I have to sleep so that the time goes by faster.
No, I used to take 60 milligrams of Valium to get on a plane.
60?
I would be.
How did you not die? I take literally 5.
I was taking 10 a day. just to like function. And then I would chew one in the morning when I'd get up.
Valium?
Yep. And then I'd chew one when I got to the airport. Then I'd chew one right before I got on. And then I'd probably chew like two or three on the plane so that I would stay.
And they never made you as like they wore off your heartbeat faster?
Oh, I'm sure.
Because that was the worst for me with Valium and yeah. Xanax.
No, I did Klonopin. I dig Ativan, unfortunately. I think it was like 2 weeks for me yeah. to
I do. Think Klonopin's been the best for me just because it like it does come on really slow. Like it doesn't act fast like Xanax.
It's not cracky. Like
it's not cracky, but it also like as it wears off, your heart doesn't go back up to brrr, like.
But like
know.
Even that, right? Like to me, I go like, let's get to that part. Like, let's get to the fear of the heart beating fast because that's a huge one with people with panic attacks. Like even talking about it.
I literally travel with a blood pressure cuff.
I do. I travel with the finger measurer.
The oximeter?
Yes.
Oximeter?
Yes.
Yeah, I have one too.
Like that's what we have to do.
And I have this app that's for old people called Cardio where it takes an EKG. And
I
you
have
put it
sore.
On your leg and you, well, you have an Apple Watch on too.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that constantly
so it measures.
Watches you. But you put your fingers yep. on it and it takes a 5-lead EKG.
What?
Yeah, it's called a Cardia and it sends you a report every month.
You should.
Hi. I'm like wow. 85.
Yeah, that's intense. There's an app called Soar that was invented by a pilot who quit his job as a pilot to work in mental health with people who had a fear of flying.
Oh.
I know, right? It's like, what do you want, a fucking Oscar? Or whatever the award for being a good person is. But
Nobel Peace Prize.
There you go. Just like being a good person. Oprah's approval. But you put the phone like on the plane and then it measures turbulence and it like shows you a reading of like what is dangerous turbulence and like what you're experiencing. And then of course it never even gets close. Even the worst turbulence I've ever
had. How does
it
work up in the air?
Because of movement.
Oh, it just works solely on movement. It doesn't need Wi-Fi connection. Mm-mm. Interesting. It's called SOAR?
SOAR.
S-O-A-R?
Yeah, I think it's like British or something. It's probably like $2. Or 2 euros.
I like that. That sounds helpful.
It's like get to the fear of what the heartbeat thing is. Because I feel like that for you is a symptom.
That's huge. Do you get that? Like, do you worry
I
about
used
your heartbeat?
To. I was a
check
your pulse
yeah, yeah.
every 5 seconds. And doing that was reinforcing the fear.
Dude, I went and had every test done. I had my microvascular disease test, EKG. I had I had everything.
Yeah.
I had an echo. I had a fucking 3D thing on my heart. Like they're like,
and you're like, we're gonna find something, and then someone's gonna be like, this fixes that, and then it'll be over. And
although
when it's
I will
not,
say, they did find that I have a mitral valve prolapse, which is very common in people with anxiety and yeah. women. So he said, it's like, but it's not gonna kill me. It's
and
just,
it's also it can contribute, but yeah. again, like this feeling is a symptom
yeah.
of your anxiety.
Yeah.
It is not the truth.
And there's so much more. Like, I mean, I actually have PCOS and endometriosis.
Oh,
so I have a lot going
me.
On. So they put me on progesterone 10 days a month. And I noticed that when I'm on the progesterone, I have no anxiety.
You're leveled out. So why don't you get on birth control like that?
So they're working on me being on it full time. But the thing is right now, I'm still not getting my period ever. So like.
Stress.
No, like they think because my like with PCOS can trigger like almost early menopause and stuff like that. So like they're trying to figure out like I asked them if I can take the progesterone full time
yeah.
right now because
they're
I
like,
do feel better. But they're like not yet because we just want to figure out why your body's not releasing the egg.
Could
so
be
like
stress,
yeah, it
girl,
could be
could
stress.
Could be a fucking panic disorder,
right? But then
it's
how crazy really... is it that like taking the progesterone actually made me so calm? So
it
it's
makes
like,
sense. It's a chemical imbalance.
Yeah,
I take Slynd, which is new and is a progesterone only pill.
It is.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Slynd, S-L-Y-N-D or something.
Do you take it every day?
Every day.
Yeah.
And it is. Helped so much.
Really helpful.
I'm like starting to get rid of this adult acne. I'm taking like spironolactone.
Oh, spironolactone.
Yeah, whatever the fuck.
That makes you pee a lot. It's also a diuretic.
Because I pee in the middle of the night.
Is it helping
anyway.
You?
And I just started it and it's purely literally like chin hormonal acne. So I'm like, we're going to see. But going back to like pills and shit, I was like, to start the birth control again, I was like, to my gynecologist, I was like, bitch, I cannot.
Yeah.
Be on some shit that is going to fuck
with
my
mood. Yeah.
And she was like, this is what I mean by like, I found doctors who I love and
actually
trust.
Care. Yeah.
She would like email me being like, hey, haven't heard of you in a while. Aww. Like, come, like, talk
how
to me.
Feeling?
How are you feeling?
Yeah.
And it reminded me like, oh, yeah, maybe that's why I was crying uncontrollably the other day. Like, it's hard to do it all on your own, man. It's really fucking hard. Yeah.
I do have a really good doc. I have a really good general practitioner. Shout out to Dr. Amrani, who he lets me email him anytime.
Aww.
And I'll be like, am I dying? He'll be like, nope.
No, except for my iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And yeah. He's just like, it's nice when you find people that really care. Mm-hmm. So that's good. So you take progesterone all the time and that helps you.
I don't know that it necessarily like helps.
Do you feel calmer?
Yes, but, and slash. Mm-hmm. I think it's because I've also implemented other shit into my life that I have found control in by letting go of control, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's our biggest problem as successful boss bitch women.
Gotta know what's going on all the time.
Gotta be successful. Gotta know the algorithm. Yeah. Gotta put out content. Gotta like be in the scene. And like with COVID, I'm sure it's not fucking helping anything. No. But like, learning to let go and really focus on myself. Like my therapist all the time is like, okay, yeah, you and your partner might be like fucking fighting right now. Things might not be going great, or like, oh, your agent's being a bitch. Not that they are. Hi, shout out ETA. I love you. Please don't drop me.
Yeah.
But like, she's like, don't focus on any of that shit. Focus on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Let's focus on like you. And I'm like, no, I'm trying to get away from me. Yeah. I don't like me. Yeah. I don't like my body is betraying me.
Yeah.
I want to get the fuck away from me.
Can I be someone else for a day?
Yeah. And it's like, no, you. By diving into the shit that you fear the most, learning and having knowledge and educating yourself about like what is physically happening to you helps me feel like I have more control about it. I'm like, oh, this isn't a panic attack. This is like my parasympathetic nervous system, like on high, my adrenal glands are flushed, like my and I'm like, oh, that's what it is. And that helps me like, I don't know if this is the word, but like perceptualize. It's not a word.
Conceptualize. Understand.
Yeah.
You break it down.
I'm like, oh, my body thinks I'm in trouble right now. Mm. I can't get mad at my brain for thinking it's in trouble and trying to help
save
me.
You. Yeah.
Why am I being a dick to myself about it? Like, I should be like, oh, brain.
I'm okay. Calm down, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, calm down, dude, is even like a little mean.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, let it just like,
I love you for trying to protect me.
See, look, you're better already. I'm
trying to work on it. I'm here with Dr. Kelsey.
I love you
so much.
I want to be a social worker or some shit.
You'd be so good at it.
I might go back to school because I'm just bored.
I know, but it's so good. Okay, so your book's called Don't Fucking Panic, right?
Buy it.
Don't Fucking Panic.
Yeah.
And by Kelsey Darragh, and that's spelled D-A-R-R-A-U-G-H.
No U, but that was
A-G-H.
I'm seriously impressed.
And that's on Thought Catalog right now. Yeah. If you guys want to pre-order it for someone that is struggling, they would greatly appreciate it. I know I would love
You're getting one, don't worry.
Aww,
I already have your address, though.
Yay!
On the list.
I love it. And then on your Instagram, what's your Instagram?
Oh, you can follow me for everything. I'm at Kelsey Darragh.
Okay, Kelsey Darragh on everything. That's K-E-L.
Wow.
S-E-Y-D-A-R-R-A-G-H.
You're so
on
good.
Everything. And she's so funny on Twitter. You're like my favorite person.
You, and I'm so proud of you for talking about this.
This is all I talk about. Because I've finally have like opened the floodgates of like being expressive of how I really feel and not being ashamed. Because for so many years, weren't you kind of like, I don't want people to not hire me because they think I'm going to fuck up or whatever. Like I've had anxiety my whole life and I've done movies and done all kinds of things. And
you always think you're going to like go crazy.
Yeah, and you don't.
And you don't.
You know, and I've done it. You push through. And so your anxiety is lying to you because I've done all these things my entire life while living with anxiety. So, and that's the thing. You get scared, especially in Hollywood, because you don't want people to be like, oh, she's a fucking.
Yeah. And then like you add that to the pressures of being a woman, being like in the patriarchy. It's like, we're dealing with a fucking lot, man.
It's a lot. Yeah. We deal with a lot. And then all of our like hormones and our moods and our this and our that.
And like just inherited genetics.
And then you're dealing with like your family's trauma and you're like, oh, great.
You're like generational trauma. It's like ghosts. Deal with your own fucking shit.
Yeah.
Generational trauma is now a thing. And I'm like,
oh, I just learned about that.
Irish alcoholic family. Like, fucking, you're on your own there, ghost.
That it's like passed down. I'm like, great. My grandma was like nervous wrecks on both sides. I'm like, oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah, you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, but we'll figure it out. We're solving it. At least we're being proactive.
For sure. And you're gonna figure this out.
We're like, COVID high five. Don't touch.
Thanks. You're not hopeless. You're not broken. You're like very good.
Thank you.
You're
this was like good. Therapy for me.
Same.
I feel very safe.
Just talking about it. It's great in a safe space.
Doesn't it feel better? Like it feels like I actually am fine traveling with someone else that I know also has an anxiety disorder, because I'm like, oh, if I do freak out, they know what I'm going do. And what I'm going through. Yeah.
You can just imagine me there next time. Aww. Like, fuck your husband. Just imagine me and like what I would say.
You like get a call from like a hospital in Mexico. They're like, hola, chica. This is Jose calling you from Mexican hospital. She says, Kelsey.
And I'm just like,
emergency contact.
Put her fucking through on your emergency contact. Have one deep conversation. Emergency. That's really funny.
Oh my God.
That's a good TikTok. You should do it. You should do that. Cause you're on TikTok.
I'm loving it.
I'm obsessed.
So mature. I'm like 34 and I'm like, I will be doing these till I'm 50.
Age is just a number.
It is just a number. By the way, I'm totally going to get my telomeres tested. I'm going to look that up.
Don't, unless you want to feel bad about yourself.
Oh no. I know. I feel like as I sleep literally 12 hours a night.
But you're stressed right now. Like this would not be helpful. This would make you feel worse.
But I'm
so
like,
don't.
Never not stressed.
But like, wait. Don't do it now. I won't allow this. No.
I share next week. Hey,
listeners,
well, I'm 85 years old.
If you hear her, you fucking DM me and you tell me and I'm going to come over here and bap you on the forehead.
I love you. I love you so much.
Thanks so much,
guys,
for
make sure to check Kelsey out and ask any questions that you may have and we will get back to you and stay tuned for another episode of Worst First next week. Bye. Be safe. Take care of yourselves. Hold your inner child's hand. Okay.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.